It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in.
There it is. And then there were two. Nikki Haley dropping out of the race.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
A big Wednesday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla coming your way. A man still running strong as we've winnowed the field down to a surging former president and a current president whose biggest accomplishment in office so far is probably the fact that he hasn't died on the steps of Air Force One.
That man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
Biden losing American Samoa last night to a guy named Jason Palmer. And of course, Biden was upset about losing Samoa. He didn't even know we were selling Girl Scout cookies. But we'll get into it. It's going to be a chippy day on the show. Kennedy will be here. Shannon Bream will be here. It's a Super Tuesday aftermath wrap-up where we look towards the general and figure out who the VPs are going to be and how this thing's going to go. 888-788-9910. If you want a piece of the action, 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. Just don't be a... Boom! There it is. Happy Wednesday, your radio buddy. Good to be back on the air. If you watched me last night on Fox Nation, thank you. Myself, Pete Hegseth, Ben Domenech was there. Tom Bevin was in the house. We did 3 hours of live coverage in front of a studio audience. There was a good studio audience. Told them jokes and just analyzed the returns as they came in on Super Tuesday. I don't think anyone was surprised by the outcome. But I do think in waking up to the news that Nikki Haley is dropping out, you wonder why the hell, if this was all that was going to happen, why the hell was she staying in?
I think he's got a point.
Okay, and it clearly wasn't to win. It clearly wasn't to become the VP, because even after dropping out, she decided not to endorse Donald Trump. So you understand, she says he's going to have to first earn her votes. Now, in truth, she is doing him a favor if she forces him to tack back towards the middle, because moderates and independents are going to decide this thing. Okay, but Trump did not sound like a man interested in earning her support. He annihilated her on Truth Social this morning, right before she spoke, saying she got trounced last night, record-setting fashion. But we invite Haley supporters to join us. So his attempt at unity was like, yeah, I kicked your ass, but you're welcome to get on board. Little bit of a, you know, backhandy Trump compliment. But why is Trump actually surging, getting past, you know, his bedside manner not always being the best, and the fact that he is under several indictments, 91 to be precise? The reason Trump is surging despite things that might traditionally hold back a candidate for president is because Donald Trump is literally the only guy talking about the things voters care about. And I say that why? Because today is going to be a pretty loose show, but the most disgusting thing I've probably ever seen in media went down last night on MSNBC is Trump is losing any pretense of this being a close race is flying out the window. We're losing that in the first 3 minutes of the night. Okay, guys opening up 40-point leads, 80-point leads, 90, you know, huge leads. Okay, so MSNBC has to find a way to make this entertaining. And they quickly realize it's not going to be how Trump does, because these are blowouts. Okay, we've never wrapped up an election, a nomination, in a party out of power, okay, this early. Traditionally, if you're the party out of power, you got a really crowded field, and that crowded field dukes it out till like May or June.
Wrong.
Not this year. Okay, we wrapped it up on Super Tuesday, really early, which gives us the longest election in terms of the general election. 8 full months we're going to have to run.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Not good. So with Trump wrapping up the nomination, the people at MSNBC are like, well, what do we do here? I guess we'll go after his voters. And that's what they did. And I'm going to play you a clip right now from the MSNBC panel last night, mocking people of Virginia, who said their number one concern was the border. That was the number one issue amongst voters in Virginia, was the border, which apparently to MSNBC is funny because they have no idea just how much this affects the lives of everyday people. First of all, fentanyl has led to a record level of poisoning deaths in every, you know, in the country, which means every state in the country is affected by it because there's drugs in every state in the country. But second of all, when you get to the border, and specifically Virginia, they're less than a week removed from a migrant sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl. A guy that got into the country with a criminal record was apprehended in Texas and then sent free to Virginia. You better believe it's going to get the community's attention. But to MSNBC, listen to these idiots. They don't even know what they're talking about. Virginia, I mean, I guess it has a border. I mean, think about that. This is bananas, okay? Okay, this is Jen Psaki, if you remember, who came in to replace Kaylee.
Psaki sucks. Kaylee was so much better.
Well, Lincoln recorded that back when Psaki was a White House press secretary. But I am sad to report that she hasn't gotten any better since then. Listen to this clip, clip 7.
If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like,
what?
I mean, dude, are you...
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Seriously, let me give you the verbiage on that. I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue, according to laughter, laughter, laughter. I mean, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Ha, ha, ha.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
And Joy Reid jumps in with, build a wall. I mean.
Shut up. Will you shut up?
But remember, I said this yesterday. Okay, this shouldn't be a superpower. But it is a superpower Trump has, meaning this should be common amongst politicians. It's incredible that it's an outlier and not a common thread, is that Donald Trump is the only guy talking about issues that people care about. When Joe Biden starts making the case about the climate, I mean the climate, everybody's just...
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the climate. Inflation's at a 40-year high. Okay, gas went through the roof. The border's been overrun. We're on the brink of World War III. Nobody has the luxury of caring what the weather's going to do in 75 years.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, so understand, though, because that is the messaging apparatus out of the Democrats. Everybody's a white supremacist, and they're destroying the planet. That's what they're running on. So in their worldview, when you only communicate with like-minded idiots, it makes sense to you to mock people who prioritize the southern border, even though they live thousands of miles away from it, because they themselves aren't affected by it. But when you talk about the dripping disdain they have for voters, they call the media elites because they do consider themselves better than you, like straight up better than you. Look at these people in Virginia. They don't even know what they're talking about, a border. I mean, I guess it had borders with West Virginia. Listen to this again, clip 7.
If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Thinking,
build a wall.
Like, what?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I mean, my God. Girl was just assaulted by a minor. You better believe a minor was just assaulted by a migrant with a violent arrest record. Let into the country. You better believe it's going to get people's attention. So you understand their message is so far out of touch with voters that if you get Trump to stay on his message, the guy's going to win. Okay? It's part of the reason Rachel Maddow's cutting him off last night. Okay? Trump goes to give a victory speech, and Rachel Maddow tries to dump out of it and says, you know, we can't be leaving these lies on the air. Listen to this, clip 5.
This is one of the finest run campaigns that anybody has ever seen. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. It's really a statement. And we have no choice.
Yeah, okay. you know, okay. I will say that it is a decision that we revisit constantly in terms of the balance between allowing somebody to knowingly lie on your air about things they've lied about before and you can predict they're going to lie about. And so therefore it's irresponsible to allow them to do that.
Oh, Rachel Maddow.
You are a sad, strange little man.
I mean, really? Good goodness. It's irresponsible. Do you know why they don't want to air Trump's speeches? Okay, because understand, if Trump's speeches are so damaging and the goal is to defeat Trump, they'd let him speak.
He knows what he's talking about.
The problem they have is they don't think his speeches are damaging. They think his speeches connect with people. Bill Hemmer, to his credit, trashed other networks yesterday on Outnumbered. He said, hey, if you're not going to take the president of the United States' speeches, take the word news out of your title. If you work in the news industry, okay, and news is being made, you're just supposed to cover it. You're not supposed to tell the audience how this should make them feel or how this might influence their thought process. Your job is to be the news, not to be some type of an activist.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
1,000%. When Biden speaks, and I do mean every time he speaks, which is not a lot, but when Biden speaks, Fox News covers it. We don't bump away, and Joe Biden lies like crazy. Okay, think about that. Joe Biden's a guy who tells you the border's secure at a time when 8 million people have crossed. Now he wants you to believe it's not secure and it's all the Republicans' fault. I mean, good gosh, Joe Biden. That's what he's coming down to now. Well, all right. It is actually pretty crowded, but it's the Republicans' fault.
That is absolutely the most ridiculous excuse I have ever heard in my entire career as a disciplinarian.
Joe Biden opened the border through executive action, okay, with a pen. He opened the border, reversed remain in Mexico. Fought to the Supreme Court on Title 42, halted border wall construction, and sent a message to migrants that if they claim to be asylum seekers, they could come into our country. Ergo, we've had about 8 million people that we know of come into our country. We broke a record his first year in office. Him and the media didn't talk about it. We broke a record his second year in office. Him and the media didn't talk about it. We broke a record his third year in office, heading into an election year. Suddenly, him and the media started to talk about it a little bit, blame Republicans, yet here they still are mocking voters. And they're mocking voters because their priorities are just not yours. They don't connect to you. They don't identify with you. I said this yesterday. The reason Fox News is the number one network is because our party is not the Republican Party. It's America.
Freedom!
We cover real things happening to real people. We have a real problem at the border. A guy who is a really bad dude sexually assaulted a girl. You look at Lake and Riley down the road in Georgia. Okay, Virginia has a lot of college campuses. Okay, you just saw a girl get killed down the road in Georgia by a migrant. You just saw a girl in your own community get sexually assaulted by a migrant. Yes, they're going to pay attention to the border. So if you can keep Trump on message, my God, like he really could mop the floor with Biden. I mean, I know it's going to come down to swing states, but listen to the Biden pitch yesterday. Okay, here is Joe Biden yesterday saying what's at stake for black voters is that Republicans want to make it harder for you to vote. That's what he's saying. You're not capable of getting a driver's license. So you got to vote for me. I know inflation's higher. Okay. I know crime is bad. I know your schools are failing and now they're becoming overcrowded with migrants because I let 8 million of them in.
But buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
You can't afford the core price index at the grocery store. All of this is true. You got to turn tricks behind the gas station to buy a gallon of gas for most of my administration. But look, you should vote for me because I'm the only guy willing to tell you you're not capable of getting voter ID. I mean, dude.
Shut up.
That's what he's going with. Listen to this. Clip 23.
Well, I think what's at stake for everyone, and particularly the black voters, is that our very democracy is at stake. When I ran in 2020, and the black community was really significant in my winning in the first place. When I ran in 2020, I said democracy is at stake. And the press said, oh, wait a minute, that's an exaggeration. Except the vast majority of people understood what I meant. For example, making it harder to vote. What do you need to vote? An ID card to be able to go vote, a photograph. You know, this is a once in a generation for us to be able to stand up and take on the extreme division and violence that the MAGA Republicans are pushing.
This guy's a serious ass.
Can I tell you something? That it's so racist. Like, it's racist. Like, you're flat out saying they're going to take away your right to vote because you need to show a photo ID. And I know you people don't have photo IDs. He's either saying they're criminals that aren't in the system or they're just intellectually incapable of participating in the system. That's the push. But you got to vote for me because of the violence from these MAGA extremists. Guys, if a MAGA extremist was attacking the black community, it would be all over the news.
You are correct, sir.
Hasn't happened once. Okay, if you live in an inner city as a black American, you're not worried about MAGA extremism. Okay, you're worried about the soaring inner city crime rate. The fact that violent criminals no longer go to jail because of woke bail reforms. The fact that the core price index is up 26% since Biden got into office. And the people who did all this damage are telling you to worry about the weather 75 years from now and vote for them in the meantime because you won't be able to vote at all if they implement nationwide voter ID because you're too stupid to get one. That's the pitch here. So I'm telling you from the get-go, okay, Trump is positioned to win this race. He truly is if he can stay on message. And there's going to be a lot of talk if it happens about what a shock it is, but it's only because we have a media, we have a Democratic Party that's paying attention to every minute detail in this election, but what voters care about.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
The show that's not afraid to hit the road.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
It was a tragedy because you wouldn't have, think of it, all of the problems that you have today, I don't think you would have had any of them. You'd only have success, and that's what's ultimately going to unify this country and unify this party. We have a great Republican Party with tremendous talent, and we want to have unity, and we're going to have unity, and it's going to happen very quickly. And I have been saying lately, success will bring unity to our country.
So that is Donald Trump last night in a victory speech that was largely conciliatory. He annihilated Nikki Haley on Truth Social this morning. I'm sure they'll work it out. I mean, the truth is you need every vote you can get in a general election, including the people who voted for Haley. So if you are excited to have Donald Trump as your nominee this morning, be equally excited about trying to gain support from Haley voters. I know a good percentage of them are Democrats, but these elections are decided in swing states by those moderates and independents that can go either way. So it'll help a great deal if he does that. But all in all, a tremendous night for Donald Trump. Here is Dana Perino saying as much on Newsroom, clip 4.
In one way, he wins not just the vote,
He wins the night for communications. He's the only one speaking tonight. right? So President Biden decided not to take an opportunity to speak. We would have taken that speech.
Absolutely.
Nikki Haley decided not to speak tonight, and that there might be other reasons, right? I don't know when she will speak. Well, I'm sure we'll hear from her in the next couple of days, maybe 3 or 4 days, as she soaks it all in and decides what she's going to do. But so there's that. So he wins the night for that.
So there's Trump with a win at the polls and a win at the podium because he was the only guy they'd let go anywhere near a microphone that late at night because you don't know what Biden's going to come out of his mouth.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon giving you a exercise in what we like to call top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. It's a mess in Washington right now. The leadership, the people who cover our leadership.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
It's hard to. And when you get a guy like Joe Biden, who's historically unpopular, I have this idea. So Biden said, it's so funny. Biden was asked yesterday about the fact that he's getting clobbered in the polls. He responded by claiming he was actually winning in the last five polls. He's not winning in anything. Okay. He's done this once before. And when they asked the White House, okay, where these polls were, they're like, we'll get back to you.
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
And the reason that's a thing is because he's not actually winning in the polls, okay? Here's the exchange. It's clip three.
What's your message to Democrats who are concerned about your poll numbers?
My poll numbers, the last five polls you guys don't report, I'm winning. Five in a row. You guys only look at the New York Times. They're a great paper.
You can't handle the truth.
Is Joe Biden winning the last five polls in a row?
The answer would be no.
Answer would be no. Okay, he's not. He's actually not winning. He's at the lowest number for any incumbent president. And I think the State of the Union tomorrow night is, in a roundabout way, his final audition to stay on the ticket. Because there's really nothing that's going to move the needle on a guy. He's baked into the cake. He's 81 years old. People have seen enough Biden to have a very strong opinion on whether or not he can do another 4 years, at which point his problem becomes the fact that should something incapacitate him, Kamala Harris would become the president.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh.
Ha ha!
Straight up. Okay, nobody. Kamala Harris polls below Biden. So there's no world where they want to put her at the top of this ticket. But that's ultimately what would have to happen, I think, in a convention. You know, everybody keeps saying Biden's on the ticket. Dana Perino said it yesterday. But when you're this unpopular and the Democrats are as hellbent on beating Trump as they are, okay, so hellbent that they're completely mocking the concerns of his voters. You know, what MSNBC did last night about laughing at voters in Virginia for prioritizing the border?
The media is a bunch of losers.
I mean, really, though, because the border guys, for whatever you think of it, it is getting people killed in record numbers. Like, fentanyl is the number one, okay, killer for teens here in America. It's not good. Okay, when you take it a step further and you look at the humanitarian crisis and the fact that children, hundreds of thousands of children have been sex trafficked through our southern border, you realize everybody who's a halfway decent human should be prioritizing that above all else. But the Democrats in this moment, being as spectacularly out of touch with the needs of voters as they are, and as desperate as they are to either get Biden the hell off the ticket or find some type of a strong justification for keeping him on, so far they're not getting any help from Joe Biden. So here's a clip I'm going to play you of Biden yesterday where he says he can't take questions because he'll get in trouble. And it's basically that. That's all you're really going to hear in the clip. But if you watch the video, this is another one of those moments where Biden stares into space sideways for 50 seconds, okay, because he's no longer inhabiting the space everyone else in the room happens to be in.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
But there's a bigger takeaway. I'll give you the clip and then we'll respond. Clip 16.
I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
Do you have a message for voters? Thanks. Come on.
Thank you so much. That was embarrassing.
I better not start your questions. I'll get in trouble.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
Yo, you're the president of the United States. You don't get in trouble by anybody if you're really, truly in charge.
Bingo.
He's not in charge, guys, just so we're on the same page. I'm not saying this to you as a Republican, some Fox News right-wing flamethrower. Look out. Just not what I do. I don't, you know, I'm just an American. Okay, guys, not in charge. If you're the leader of the free world, that means you're the leader of the whole entire world. That's who we are, the world's number one superpower. Okay, that's true. That's what we are. Are we in a state of decline at the moment? Yes. Can we turn it around? Yes, of course we can. Just need better leadership. America right now is like the Lakers when they had Shaq and Kobe, but they hadn't yet gotten Phil Jackson. They had championship talent, but they were underachieving year in and year out under the Kurt Rambises of the world. Okay, and they needed somebody to show up and install a triangle offense and focus the team and lead them to multiple championships. We have the capabilities. We live in a country that's the greatest source of good the world has ever known. It's the richest country in the world right now. So there's no world where we're not capable. We just need a leadership change at the tippy top of the ticket.
Tell them like it is.
When you hear a president say, no, you know, I better not start your question, I'll get in trouble. Who are you getting in trouble by? You're the president. Okay, certain jobs, you know, they say read the room. If you're the president, your job is to lead the room. Every single room you walk into, for as long as you're in office, you lead the room. You're the president. Okay, this idea that, oh, I'll get in trouble. Why will he get in trouble? Because they know they can't trust him to speak for himself. I've played you this clip all week. Here is Biden with a note card in his hand, reading about the humanitarian aid to Gaza and calling it Ukraine twice instead. Clip 17.
In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others in providing airdrops of additional food and supplies into Ukraine and seek to continue to open up other avenues into Ukraine, including the possibility of a Marine corridor to deliver large amounts of humanitarian assistance.
I mean, dude.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Do you understand? He's making a global announcement. This is the sitting president of the United States announcing aid, billions of dollars of aid to the wrong country. He does it multiple times in the briefing.
Biden is such a disaster.
So again, imagine that. Just imagine he's just reading happy birthday. You know, the reason for the press conference is it's Jill's birthday. Okay, and that's what he's doing. He's going to give a press conference to announce happy birthday to Jill. And he just gets up there and says, well, I'm just here today because it's Stephanie's birthday, and I just want to wish a happy birthday to Stephanie.
Biden's lost his marbles.
That's what we're dealing with. And to her credit, Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation, this is what the late, great Rush Limbaugh would describe as a random act of journalism. Remember when El Rushbo? Talent on loan from God, okay? Remember when El Rushbo would talk about a random act of journalism? He'd say, you know, every once in a while, the drive-bys, they'll kick the tires on a story a little bit. They'll demonstrate some intellectual curiosity we don't actually expect from activists who masquerade as journalists. Here's Margaret Brennan asking Ro Khanna of California, who can be reasonable at times, why Biden is repeating Ukraine multiple times in a major policy announcement. Clip 20.
This was a big decision. This was a big announcement. And the president of the United States twice got confused as to the country and place where the aid was being dropped. He said Ukraine twice.
He misspoke.
Doesn't that concern you?
I just misspoke earlier when I said we need to stop transferring weapons. I said aid. I mean, people misspeak on television.
This was the announcement of a major policy change.
Here's the thing. I have been very direct in criticizing the president's policy in the Middle East. I have spoken with the president. He is fully coherent. He is on top of details when I have talked to him just a couple weeks ago.
He's fully coherent. He's on top of details when I talk to him.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Everybody keeps telling us we have this super sharp president behind closed doors.
Come on, don't bullshit
me.
But that's what they keep doing. No, 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 no. I understand he misspoke. I know he doesn't do good in these public appearances. But behind closed doors, this president is sharp as a tack.
If you like Biden so much, name three of his complete sentences.
Really think about that. I've made this comparison before. We've all heard the story of the guy who claims to have a really hot girlfriend, but she just doesn't live around here. Yeah, she's gorgeous. Oh, can I see her? Well, nah, she's not around here. She's on a modeling shoot. But surely you'd have a picture. You'd have some type of proof, right? Okay, well, no, I mean, she could get back to me with the photo. That's what they're telling us about the president. No, no, we got a really sharp president. I met with him behind the scenes just last. Really sharp.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Totally. That's why they're down to things like race baiting. Okay, let me give you one more from Joy Reid. This is a Joy Reid. And Joy Reid, I mean, for whatever you think of her, if we're going to find common ground in this country, I think listening to a little bit of Joy Reid, okay, day in and day out, would be good for the country, because you would ultimately all find yourself thinking the same thing at the end of the day when it comes to her, okay? She is a moron, Joy Reid.
She's worse than Kamala.
Totally. I mean, she's... But getting past the stupid, okay, is the fact that she really is living beyond shame when she makes claims. Like, it's clear from the results tonight, Republicans are voting based on racism and not economics. That's what she said.
Joy Reid is a race-baiting loser.
And should there be any doubt to the contrary, here is clip 35.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics. No.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
So Joy Reid wants you to believe, okay, Republicans are fine with the bad economy. They're fine with the open border. Okay, the fact that we're on the brink of World War III and we're essentially subsidizing both sides of the conflict while not spending a dime on our own protection. No, no, Republicans are fine with that. They don't care. They don't vote based on that stuff. They only vote based on race. Trump will probably have a black vice president or a female vice president of minority descent, but never mind. No, no, no. These people specifically vote because of racism. That's her claim. Okay, you're voting Republican because you want to get blacks out of colleges. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. It's so hard for me to take seriously because she is a shameless race-baiting buffoon. Like, she's a buffoon, like a stupid person. And she's filled with anger, and she's awful to staff and anyone around her. That's a well-known fact in media. And the fact that she's just out there selling moral superiority, this is the same Joy Reid who annihilated the gay community on Twitter, then claimed her account was hacked, the FBI was looking into it, but we still haven't gotten a result to this day. Interesting. But we're down to what? We're down to, oh, Republicans are a bunch of racists. Oh, they're a bunch of idiots for the border. And by the way, they're worse than Jim Crow because they want you to get voter ID. That's what we're down for, okay? 8 months from Election Day. You're stupid. You only vote Republican because you're racist. None of these issues affecting the country matter to you. Like, but do you see where if you don't converse with people from the other side of the aisle, it's so bad for you because you really start to talk, you start to open your mouth without any idea what you're talking about. Or any understanding of just how poorly it reflects on you and your character. Like, Joy Reid is actually like a garbage human being. And it's really embarrassing that MSNBC or any network would continue to air someone who just doesn't have the intellectual depth to get beyond fake racism. Okay, we don't care. The vast, 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 vast majority of this country is just so far past race because we're a fully integrated society. Okay, racism was a byproduct of ignorance, and that people, you know, hate things that they don't understand. Okay, but when you're exposed to those things and you understand that it has the same needs you do, the same pursuits you do, you come to realize that we're all just human. You know, the old adage, the only race is the human race. That's actually the truth at the end of the day. But racism subsisted for a long time because we lived in a segregated society where, again, as a byproduct of ignorance, people feared and hated things they didn't understand. Okay, that's Joy Reid when it comes to Republicans. She fears and hates them because she's too stupid to understand them. She doesn't get it. If you work in media over at MSNBC, she's making good money. If you're making good money, you do think Biden was a decent president because the core price index didn't affect you. The gas prices don't affect you. You're not worried about the failing schools because your kids go to private schools. You're not really worried about the climate. You're a climate activist, which means you can fly around on private jets. You don't even have to make the changes the rest of us do. The point is, these are people pushing policies that don't affect them. So they're too stupid to know the damage being done by these policies. And when they don't find themselves getting their way, these entitled elites who completely lack self-awareness decide you must be the problem and not know better because she's Joy Reid, the one who says white people don't vote for any other reason than race. Now, white people love a bad economy. They love a humanitarian crisis at the border. Hundreds of thousands of kids being sex trafficked. They're fine with all of it. The only reason they're actually voting is because of racism. I mean, my God, Joy Reid.
Are you stupid or something?
I think we all know the answer.
It's the show that 9 out of 10 listeners voted the best host on radio.
I don't want to say that they were dumb, but they were dumb.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Kennedy is coming up. We're also going to talk with Shannon Bream. Talk about a step up in class for this show. But one more step down as we round out the hour. Here is Joy Reid trying to get rid of the age question by saying the reason Biden looks older than Trump is the presidency ages you when you truly do the job. And her claim is Biden has worked harder than Trump. You know, the guy that spent 40% of his presidency on a lounge chair in Delaware, the guy with no public events on his schedule today, who routinely calls a lid by noon at the White House. She wants you to believe he's just simply outworked Trump. We are living in the death of shame. Here's the proof. Listen.
Donald Trump had one job. He had one crisis. He's saying, oh, all of these things were perfect. You had one crisis, bruh. It was called the pandemic. And you know what you did? You bollocksed it completely. You did so poorly at managing your sole crisis. The one hard thing you had to do, the reason he doesn't look old like Biden looks older, the presidency ages you when you do the job. Obama went gray because he was doing the work. Donald Trump looks the same as when he ran because he was playing golf the whole time. His one job
was
to
manage. You think that hair color's natural?
That was absolutely dreadful.
These poor people. Like, it's hard. Like, I mean, they make money. They make a living. But, to be that performatively stupid, Joe Biden works hard?
That is a fact check false.
Joe Biden has the public appearance schedule of a groundhog. Okay, but again, it's not about age. It's about condition. Okay? Joe Biden is the first United States president to speak at the United Nations and have his remarks translated into English. That's not normal.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. And we are fired up in this hour. Kennedy's coming by to react to the Super Tuesday results that did not end well for Nikki Haley.
Go home to mommy. Go home. Bye. Go home to mommy. Go home to mommy.
Well, she has done exactly that. We are now down to just Trump and Biden, something we'll discuss with the K-Train. We will, of course, also discuss with Shannon Bream, as well as your fine self. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You can be a Republican. You can be a Democrat. Just don't be a... There it is, as we get underway in hour number two. Biden. Whew, this is a funny one yesterday. So Joe Biden went out to the podium last night and talked about Cookie Monster as part of his plan to fight inflation.
What the hell did you just say?
This is a real thing. So basically, at a time when inflation, caused by the runaway spending of this administration, has driven the core price index, it's still 26% higher than it was when Biden took office. He wants you to believe the companies are the bad guys, meaning just because we are charging them a higher rate of tax, just because we are charging them more money in fuel to ship products, doesn't mean they should be passing the increased cost on to the consumer, which, of course, is not how business works. If you raise taxes on a big business, they're going to raise the price of the goods they sell you. If you raise the cost to ship goods on a big business, they're going to raise the cost of goods they sell you. Now, inflation was so out of control in the first 2 years of the Biden administration that what some manufacturers did is rather than charging you more money, they charged you the same but gave you a lot less of the product.
That's just how white folks will do you.
But that's what shrinkflation is known as. So you pay for a bag of potato chips and it's 20% emptier than it would traditionally be, yet the price is still the same. And that's essentially a way for them to minimize the cost increase on the consumer. But at the end of the day, you're still paying the same and getting less, which by definition means you're being scammed.
Correctamundo.
Now, shrinkflation is a result of inflation. So when Biden starts taking the fight to companies for shrinkflation, he is ultimately going after them for reacting to exactly what Joe Biden himself did.
That's true. That is true.
Okay. And in doing so, he says Cookie Monster. They trotted out Cookie Monster. Whoever the hell runs Cookie Monster's account tweeted and got involved with the battle against shrinkflation. Here is Biden straight up talking about Cookie Monster. Clip 32.
In fact, some of the small snack companies, you won't and think you won't even notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster. He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller, paying the same price. I was stunned when I found out that's what actually happened.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You don't have a clue.
No, you guys don't get it, man. Cookie Monster. I was stunned. And I know he's trying to joke and be folksy and get something done. But understand what's happening here is they're trying to identify deliverables, things that will ultimately turn voters out on behalf of this president. So you hear something about shrinkflation, because I don't doubt people are bothered from the fact that you're paying more money or the same money for chips and getting less of them, cookies, packages of that nature. But the reality is these guys, it's like the movie Backdraft. In the movie Backdraft, spoiler alert, a guy wants to be a hero as a firefighter, so he's setting fires himself. And then just, lo and behold, has pretty good instincts to knowing where the fires are being set, getting there before everybody else and helping to put them out, and wants to be a hero. That's essentially what Biden is trying to do with the problems he caused. Biden opened up the border, straight up. Not Trump, not Republicans, not anybody who won't sign legislation right now. Okay, Biden, through executive action, signed 90 different executive orders to reverse Donald Trump's border policies during his very first week in office.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. Okay, and understand, he caused that problem. Now in an election year, he wants you to believe he's the hero who showed up to fix the border. No, you don't understand. It's those Republicans that are the problem here.
You are so full of sh**.
The reason he wants legislation is, one, it not passing allows him to scapegoat Republicans on the issue of not wanting to sign the border, even though he's proposed legislation that would not eliminate this mass migration. It would codify it. Under the Biden proposal, you don't get a complete wall. You don't get remain in Mexico. You don't get Title 42. You get a cap on 5,000 migrants a day at the border illegally. We'll take the first 5,000 illegally. After that, we can stop letting them in, or we can arbitrarily waive the cap. But we're going to go out here with the goal of only letting in 5,000 illegal people a day. Guys, that's still close to 2 million people a year. 2 million people a year. okay, in a 365-day year, okay, if you're letting in 5,000 people a day, okay, you're letting in a little over 1.8 million people by the end of the year, illegally into the country. So the people who migrated here legally, who did things right, went through the proper channels, they wind up getting screwed. Okay, you know who else gets screwed? The people who live here already.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
But they want legislation. Okay, so they don't care about screwing people. They want to change demographics. Don't forget, one of the biggest battles you forget about during the Trump presidency is Trump said when we were doing the census, he only wanted to count legal citizens. Do you remember that? And the Democrats are like, that's bigotry. It's because he sees these people as less than human.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
Totally. In this instance, their stupid idea was they wanted illegal immigrants counted in the census. Why? Because if illegal immigrants are counted in the census, that changes the demographics in congressional districts and allows the Democrats to redraw the map. Congressional races are proportional to the population in the districts. You get seats based on population. You get to redraw the lines in a district based on population. So if you bring in 8 million migrants, get them counted in the census, you ultimately get to redraw congressional maps. Make no mistake about it. Like the Democrats admit, oh, no, the demographics are changing. The Republicans just can't deal with it. A year ago, you'd have been called, you know, a race-baiting lunatic. It was called the Great Replacement Theory. Oh, believe these Republicans going with that Great Replacement Theory that we're just opening up the border because we want to change demographics. But they do want to change demographics. They fought Trump to the death on counting illegal immigrants in the census. And they said the only reason Trump didn't want to is because he was racist towards these people. That was the claim. Nah, he's racist. That's why he doesn't want to count them. That's why he doesn't want to let us redraw the congressional districts. By the way, counting them in the census means they impact how the congressional races are drawn up, but they also then qualify for government benefits of Medicare and Medicaid, meaning taxpayers start paying for every one of these illegal immigrants.
Just hold on to your pocketbook. They just put a lien on your money, your savings, and your retirement.
So that's what went on. So you understand a lot of these border problems that Biden's trying to pretend to address now are no different than the economic problems Biden's trying to address now. He caused them, okay, but he doesn't see them as failures because they are part of the policy. Like the border is not a failure to the Democrats. They want 10 million illegals in the country. They want to get them voting status. They want to get them working status. They want to redraw congressional maps, and they want to be able to turn out elections that way. They want to do that. I mean, they're pretty upfront about it, so it's not like we're being conspiratorial here. Okay, but understand, they caused these problems for you. They're not problems for them. Open border isn't a problem for them. They don't care how people are dying of fentanyl. Big deal. What do they care? Okay, we're overwhelming inner city schools. Our kids go to private schools. What do we care? That's how they look at it. Okay, when it comes to the economy, the fact that they spent us into oblivion on inflation and then addressed it by disguising a climate change bill as an Inflation Reduction Act.
What a fraud.
That's what they did. And then the minute they passed it, they were like, wow, this is the biggest climate expenditure in the history of our nation. Today's a day we should all be celebrating. Inflation Reduction Act was a ripoff. Okay, but that's what you're dealing with in this moment, is people paying attention to problems they created because they want the forward optic of, hey, we care. Here is Karine Jean-Pierre getting asked about it yesterday at the podium by our own Edward Lawrence, clip 34.
So does the president again believe that shrinkflation and inflation are solely a company problem, or do his policies play any role in that?
The president has called on companies to stop taking advantage of Americans. He's been very clear about that. He's repeatedly called on large corporations, more specifically, to pass along their savings onto their customers.
Why did it take the Cookie Monster to speak up or an election year for this strike force to go? Why not do it a couple years ago when inflation was 9%?
I disagree with the premise of your question there. It did not take the Cookie Monster If anything, it feels like the cookie monster is responding to us and what we've been saying about shrinkflation. I can't believe I'm having a conversation about the cookie monster at the podium.
I mean, man.
She is so bad at her job.
Can't believe I'm talking about Cookie Monster. But you know what she's not talking about? Ed Lawrence's question, which was, is this caused by Biden's policies? At which point she says, you know, he's been clear on the companies to stop taking advantage. He's been clear about that. He's calling on large corporations to stop doing it.
Don't change the subject. Just answer the f***ing question.
Because she's not answering the question. She says she disagrees with the premise of the question. The premise of the question was, does the president believe that shrinkflation and inflation are solely a company problem, or that his policies played any role in that? Did you notice she did not mention whether or not his policies played a role in that?
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
But the reason she didn't do it is because she absolutely knows that his policies did.
Bingo, man, bingo.
These are idiots. Okay, these are not smart people. They're not smart. It's so funny. If you've heard me tell this story before, forgive me. But when Fox gave me this radio show, just the same as when Fox gave me a TV show, you know, many years later, I guess 3 years, I don't know. But the point is, you really, if you're me anyway, and you're mindful of how the content's going to impact millions of people, you really do think about what type of show you want to run. You do. You put a lot of thought into it because you realize millions of people are going to be affected by the words that come out of your mouth, and you need to be aware of what kind of effect you're having and what kind of effect you want to have. So I've always kind of taken this easy way out in the sense that, you know, I want to be a force multiplier of positive energy. And I say, you know, this is a safe space for cool people. You don't have to agree. Just call in. It's a good old-fashioned talk show. That's the vibe of the radio show. On the TV show, if you read any of these interviews, we have a pretty good interview that's out in The Hill today. The Hill did a nice write-up about my new TV show. And you could check it out in The Hill. And it's about my show being a bipartisan comedy show, because comedy does not have a political party. It just is a party. If comedy works, it should be funny to either side if it's truly funny. So that's the goal of my late-night show. Okay, but understand my Saturday night show. But the point is, okay, when I got these opportunities and really sat down to think about how they could impact the culture and what kind of show I wanted to do, my real concern back in 2020 when this thing launched is I was like, you know, I'm going to have fun. It's going to be a good time. But I don't know if I'm smart enough to analyze these people at the White House because they're all so intelligent. But that's what I thought. I didn't know. I had no idea. Like, I grew up believing if you worked in the White House that you were some type of a genius.
You must have got manure for your brains.
No, I had just never been around it. I'd never been around it. So the more time I spend covering the people who work in the White House, the more I'm like, my God, I was so naive. These are stupid people. Oh, because they think that you don't see, like, that you don't see, like, oh, the economy's good. You just don't see it. Just because you're paying more and you're saving less, you're too dumb to realize you actually have it pretty good. You know, in the good economies, that's when you have less money. But that's what they're doing. And I grew up believing these types of people didn't exist in the White House. That's honestly what I believed. With a straight face, I said, wow, the White House, that's got to be by geniuses.
What the hell were you thinking?
I honestly don't know. But as I sit here now as a broadcaster, the reason I always sound so confident every day is not because I always know what I'm doing, but I am certain that everyone around me in the White House doesn't have a clue either.
You're absolutely right.
Watch Jimmy's new show Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Kennedy's around the corner, but Reese is opening up. He's the warm-up act in Sheridan, Wyoming. Yo, Reese!
Make America Great Again dittos to you after Super Tuesday. We are we got a great election season ahead of us, and now's the time to decide either you're either with us or against us. You're either on America's team or you're not on America's team, right? The folks got to decide whether they're gonna vote for Trump or Sleepy Joe at this point. But I think how cool would it be, given that it is Women's History Month, and we're from the Equality State, which gave women the right to vote in 1869, which is like 4 years after the end of the Juneteenth slavery, end of slavery, right? How cool would it be if they got Kristi Noem up there as the VP and Donald Trump announces that? And how great would that debate be between Kamala Harris and Kristi Noem?
I'm assuming. Assuming
that's my question to you.
Assuming the Democrats show up. I mean, that's why a lot of Tulsi Gabbard has a lot of support, too, is she annihilated Kamala when they were both running for president. She ended Kamala's candidacy in that second debate. Kristi Noem's fantastic. I guarantee you she's on the short list. I mean, based on what I know from Trump world, and I know a lot of people who were at Mar-a-Lago last night, he's telling people his mind is already made up. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it is. But I think the short list is Haley. Excuse me. Don't drive off the road.
It's not Haley.
I think it's Kristi Noem. I think it's Tulsi. I think it's Tim Scott. And I think it's Elise Stefanik. I think there's a really good chance he's going with a girl. I think the only way he's going with a guy is if it's Tim Scott to kind of neutralize the black vote for Biden.
Well, all us folks in Wyoming, we're rooting for the ladies because it is Women's Appreciation Month, and we have a long history of equality in our state, and
yes,
we just want to support it to the next generation, to the next.
No, so. I appreciate your commitment to this, both on the air and off the air, the great work you do on those internet websites that celebrate women. Reese, we love you. Keep playing good ball out there, champ.
Come on, man.
Good for you. Reese.
Come on, man.
He's so silly. Listen, I'll tell you this right now. Okay, Kristi Noem would be fierce. Elise Stefanik would be fierce. Even Nikki Haley would be fierce.
Wrong.
But she would, going up against Kamala Harris. I mean, dude.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
I am excited to see this next guest who joins us every Wednesday on the show, but this Wednesday's special because we're going to the Carnegie Club after the show for a cigar.
Hello, is this thing on?
Yes.
Mikey, can you hear me?
Now some people say, Jimmy, why the Carnegie Club of all places? Because it's the only one that'll still let us in.
That's absolutely right. It is not a jiggle joint. And no one, when you stand outside, how do I get to the Carnegie Club? No one says practice, practice, practice.
No, ma'am.
They're like, you thick-headed dolt, you're here.
You're at the Carnegie Club. Kennedy in the house, the crowd goes wild. Hey, girl. So the Carnegie Club is, oddly enough, right next to Carnegie Hall. I don't know that there's an affiliation, but it is a very nice venue. But because you mentioned jiggle joints, it brings me to this next observation I recently made. There are a lot of famous places, like historically significant places, that are like a block from a strip club. Okay. Ooh. Do you know the White House has a strip club, I mean, a block away?
I did not know that.
I don't know if it was opened in the late 90s, but it might have, out of convenience to the occupant.
Yeah, 1993, late January. Huh. That's weird. I'm just doing some outreach. I feel so bad for these poor girls, Hillary.
Just as Bill Clinton was finishing his saxophone solo on the Arsenio Hall show, the guys at Arturo's...
Ginger, would you like to blow my horn, dear?
They applied for a liquor license. Like, you know what? He might win this thing. But there's a strip club right there. Down the block from Ground Zero. I mean, obviously it predates September 11th, but there was a strip club like a block away. I only bring that up. Why? Because I had a buddy, Ken Wood. Do you remember when they were going to put a Ground Zero mosque in and a lot of people were bothered by it? Ken Wood had a good joke where he was like, I'm going to open a gay bar across the street from the mosque called Suspicious Packages. That's pretty good.
That's great.
That's pretty good. Antagonize the homophobia out there, because there's some of it's out there.
Yeah, I'm sure I have a few ex-boyfriends there.
The K-train is here, though, and that's exciting. So Super Tuesday comes and goes. I mean, I think it's pretty clear to most people, Nikki Haley has Trump right where she wants him.
Oh, this is her moment. I mean, she has all the momentum.
Uh-huh.
And she's holding all the cards, obviously.
And they're Hallmark cards, clearly.
That she's writing to herself because no one else wants to send her anything.
Full Milton from Office Space. She has been Milton for like a month. She was showing up despite the firing from voters. But the reason I bring it up is obviously she's dropped out now. But the decision to drop out today, I don't feel like answered any of the questions we had, like why was she still in it? Because it wasn't like a VP push, and she wasn't sticking around for a third-party effort, from what I could tell.
And hadn't really cobbled together a coalition, mm-hmm. which is really important if you're going to defeat a candidate who is not only running on but adding to the coalition that he made in 2016. So Joe Biden had the big advantage because he had never governed as president.
Yeah.
He had been vice president. So he was, you know, the second banana. He really didn't have a lot to do in the Obama administration. Obama loved the spotlight and loved the credit. And he wasn't going to give any of that away or even the tough jobs to Joe Biden because he didn't really trust him.
Yep.
So now Biden has been president for 3 years and people are like, this kind of sucks.
You think about that. Barack Obama thought so much of Joe Biden that he talked him out of running. In 2016.
Yeah, he's like, nah, I don't think it's your year.
No.
I don't like your presidential material.
I just don't
see
it.
Big guy.
Well, yeah, you made the point that Biden had a lot of downtime, clearly based on the amount of phone calls he made to the Hunter business meetings. This is a man with some free time,
Sean,
on his hands.
Are you meeting with the commies? You want to put me on speaker? Dad, stop it. You're embarrassing me. God.
Oh, man. Kennedy's in studio. You know where Kennedy's going to be, by the way? We have not talked about this on the show. You're heading out to Carson, Nevada.
That's absolutely right.
Kennedy's going to the Carson Nugget. What is it, March 23rd?
Nugget, March 23rd. Two shows, 6 and 8 p.m.
Whoa.
Tickets are barely available now.
Yeah, at this point. No, it's
thoughts and prayers if you're trying to get into one of the shows.
It's almost the running of the bulls. Like you're risking your life by even attending at this point.
Yeah.
Given the hysteria that'll greet your
hysteria,
arrival.
Jim. So I've got obviously our tour manager.
Is he coming out?
He's coming out, yeah.
Oh, you're going to have the best time. It's March 23rd at the Carson Nugget. If you're listening on KKFT out there in Reno, you are listening to the number one rated show on your dial. I would like to think.
You're damn skippy, you
I
are.
I would like to think we carry some weight in terms of our recreational recommendations.
I've got a special hug for every one of your Reno listeners.
It's not. I'm not quite Oprah's book club, but Jimmy's Comedy Club, I think the list matters.
I would much rather party with Jimmy's Comedy Club
than Oprah's
Farty Book Club.
Although Oprah's Farty Book Club did give us the Marianne Williamson candidacy. That moon bat. Oh, I love her. She's so out to lunch. Did you see Biden lose Samoa?
That was the best thing. 91 votes.
That's so great.
Who cares? The fact that more than half of them went against Biden.
Yeah.
I think there is hope for the world that result.
Was there genuine concern when Biden looked around and went, Samoa, I didn't know we were getting Girl Scout cookies.
He's like, you know, I like making an ice cream sandwich between two Samoas. Should I tell them that?
It's so bad. So let me ask you.
He sodomized an ice cream cone on national TV standing next to Seth Meyers. I will never get that disgusting picture out of my head.
You know, as a woman who almost got fired from MTV.
Well, that's why I'm saying I'll never get the picture out of my head because his technique was so spot on. I only wish I had used that standing next to then New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani in 1994.
Thank you. So as you think about that, though, because when he was doing that with Seth Meyers.
I may have to unearth that footage
and
show it in Carson, Nevada.
Yeah.
Me doing lovely things to a microphone standing next to Rudy
the
Giuliani.
Multimedia presentation that is Kennedy Live.
That's exactly a lot what
good.
It is.
It's not just the ping pong ball finale that you guys
have
come.
You're getting the ping pong ball finale. You are.
If you've seen the show at any of the XXX venues here in Times Square, you know you're in for a real treat at the Carson Nugget March the 23rd.
Make sure you stretch out your hammies before the meet and greet.
I'm dying. What do you think of this idea? Okay, so Trump wins, Haley's out of the race, Biden's here. We've got 8 months to go.
Oh, God.
Now, you know this, I know this. the Democrats really, 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 really don't want to see Trump win this thing. Okay, they've taken some.
They thought they did.
Yeah.
They thought they did.
They're
every time a new candidate peeled off and they're getting closer and closer to just Trump, they're like, this is all we've ever wanted. It's like, is it?
Yeah. They're in a problem now. They're in a real problem. I mean, they fought to get him off the ballot. Obviously, they've got these indictments, which don't seem to be going anywhere. Like the Fannie Willis thing, I don't think.
Oh, they're going somewhere. Unfortunately, they're going to Aruba and Napa.
It's going somewhere.
For a caviar wine tasting.
It's a hot sheets motel. You got to hand the key to the next couple.
All cash.
That's going somewhere. So the point is, they are, he is on the ticket. We know that. Trump's Republican nominee. Okay. Most people still assume, I ask this question to people all the time. We've had a conversation multiple times. We assume Biden's going to be the nominee. But knowing he is polling as historically low as he is, on some level, do you think the State of the Union tomorrow night is an audition?
Yes, absolutely. This is when, and I think that's why they pushed the State of the Union so late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's an official reason,
yeah,
which is probably all lies.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it is he wanted to gloat after Super Tuesday and be like, the election starts now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like Sophia from Golden Girls versus Grandpa Simpson. Like, I don't know that I'm terribly excited about 8 months of this.
Oh, man. There was a famous fight in the 80s. Where Jerry Cooney fought Larry Holmes. They were both a little up there in years. So
Larry Holmes had that sexy smile.
Did he, though? But they had that fight at Caesar's Palace that was adoringly billed as Two Geezers at Caesar's. That's what people called it. And it's so funny because they both were like 38 when they fought. But if that was Two Geezers at Caesar's, like, what are we watching?
Oh, God.
It's the Notebook. It's, you know, it's not good.
It's geriatric porn.
But it's going down. But I do wonder if Biden is auditioning to stay on the ticket tomorrow night because, you know, they are having it Thursday. As you said, there's probably a reason I'm not aware of, but I haven't heard the reason articulated. But this traditionally happens on Tuesday, which to me speaks to them having low confidence in how it's going to go. Because if anything, if it happens Thursday, it's in a Friday news cycle and it's just gone.
Yeah. So Biden thinks that the Cosby Show is still followed by Family Ties on Thursday nights. And he's like, well, let's just do it then. It's must-see TV. No one will see my gaffes.
If we wrap it up by 10, I can get home in
time.
Sir,
L.A. law is not on anymore, sir.
So you're telling me Biden wants to get home in time for Alf.
Exactly.
That's what's going on. He just wants to watch Alf eat another cat.
I want to know if Mrs. Akmonik ever found her kitty.
Gordon Shumway, otherwise known as Alf.
Alien life form.
He wants to watch Alf. I don't doubt this is true. I don't doubt any of this is true. So it's fascinating because I think what would happen, right? And let's play out, let's game some scenarios, is if he bombs this thing tomorrow, bombing would be the sign language interpreter shrugs more than 12 times. The over-under in Vegas is 11 and a half. We expect 4 or 5 made-up words. That's built into the cake.
Milwaukee.
Last year was the one where he famously said, "True it out," you know. Well, he said, "Now's the time to choose between unity and Schmegadahemina." That's what he said. He literally said, and as everybody clapped, I said to myself, "But I got to be honest with you. I like unity, but we've never tried the Schmegadahemina." We've never tried it as a people. Do we really choose unity?
I don't know that we do.
What if Schmegadahemina is better?
As a celiac, it sounds like it has gluten in it. So
that's your only concern.
Automatically, yeah, I'm abstaining.
So when you go out to when we go to the Carnegie Club later, I've got to make sure that the menu is Schmegadahemina free. Oh, I'm dying! I was laughing so hard I unplugged my headphones during the Al.
Can
sequence.
I have a gluten-free cigar, please?
Oh, I'm smoking a Churchill. Oh, it's going to be, I'm
oh,
excited.
Oh, we can be there for 4 hours?
I'll smoke it fast. It's a 2-hour hit. We're talking.
Mine's going to be like a Pepperidge Farm salami. That's how big it'll be.
It's a road flare. They direct airplanes with this cigar I'm smoking. Kennedy and I are going to smoke a cigar. We like to have these State of the Unions, and we haven't had warm weather yet to terrorize my neighbors with my music, with our music. So, there it is. But can you just give me one thing, one point of semi-seriousness? Because the clip of Jen Psaki and Rachel Maddow mocking Virginia voters for caring about the border, I just think it's such a low point for, like, elitist media and people who don't get what they're covering. because it would obviously make a lot of sense to Virginia to care about the border because the border problems don't stay at the border. But, like, what is this in this moment? I'll play the clip. You characterize what I'm watching here is beyond them being out of touch. I don't know if it speaks to anything else. Clip 7.
If you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like,
what?
Build a wall. Like, what?
What Rachel Maddow is saying is that there are a bunch of hillbillies right next door in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And we don't acknowledge those people. We don't listen to those people. They don't have valid concerns. Mm-hmm. Jen Psaki and Rachel Maddow both went to very prestigious fancy pants universities. Maddow went to Stanford and Oxford. Jen Psaki went to William and Mary. They have existed in bubbles for so long. I don't care if Jen Psaki is a soccer mom in Virginia. She has no idea what's plaguing the rest of this country.
Yep.
The only benefit that Jen Psaki enjoys now is looking, even though she was a fairly inept press secretary, she looks like Stephen Hawking compared to me taking high school conceptual physics compared to Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Corinne Jean-Pierre is something, man. It's something, but yeah, you're right.
I love Edward Lawrence kind of pressed her about the president's reliance on note cards. Not just the fact that he uses them. Everyone uses note cards.
Yep.
His reliance on them, his inability to function without knowing exactly what is going to be asked and by whom. And Corinne Jean-Pierre is like, oh, you got a problem with note cards? You got a problem with note cards? And it was like, oh, my God.
You know, note cards are manufactured by a black-owned company. This is clearly racism. Like, that's what we're down to now.
Yeah.
They don't have a real
because
pivot.
They're white? That's why... You have an issue with the note cards. Yeah.
So it's funny, though, because he was specifically referencing them to go with the fact that he went 0-for-2 on the country using note cards. So he was there to talk about aid to Gaza and called it Ukraine twice.
Yeah.
So he, missed the strike zone by a minute.
And then the president of Mexico with all the great pyramids and the Nile. I love that guy.
8 months till Election Day.
I know. I wish him well.
Yep.
It's elder abuse. The New York Post editorial board, absolutely right, characterizing the Biden presidency as such. He needs to just be nice to him. There's nothing more to grift.
Yeah.
For his family.
And then,
that spigot has run dry.
Yeah. And
everyone is sick of you. Everyone's on to your scheme.
Yep.
The Justice Department no longer interested in running cover for Hunter and his proclivities. Just leave.
Yeah, just go.
Hunter Biden, I have to stay sober because it's the most important thing in the world.
It's so funny because so much of this is performance art at this point. It's just like, it's all performative nonsense. And they would be smart to walk away because right now they're not going to jail. The statute of limitations has been run out on most of these things. I don't know that they're directly going to uncover criminality anyway. It just would seem like
Joe Biden's
going to
pardon
lied.
Everyone.
Yeah. And that's the most important reason he's probably staying on the ticket. Something Paul Morrow had brought up a while ago on the show is as long as he stays on the ticket, if heaven forbid there was some type of a criminal finding, he'd maintain that pardoning power all the way through, January. But the reality now is he should step aside because they're not going to trial on anything regarding Hunter Biden between now and Election Day anyway.
No, they would have already.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I don't know what they're doing there other than what you said. Maybe it is elder abuse. Do you think the Democrats will consider just trying to tell Biden he already lost?
Yes.
Could it work?
And if he's a good boy, he gets some chocolate chip ice cream in the retirement suite.
Now, listen, you ran a good race.
It was great.
Trump came
it's
out
November.
On top.
Despite President Biden, did you know it's November?
You know, Jill needs to pick out a Thanksgiving turkey. You're going to want to get on Marine One on the
better
lawn today.
Better pardon a couple of them.
I'll tell you what you do. You sign this executive order right here. Just scroll to the bottom and sign it. It's going to give you full pardoning power on these Thanksgiving
Congress.
Turkeys.
It dissolves Republicans in Congress.
There'll be
you
no more
that.
Republicans. You sign this, and then he just resigns and leaves the White House. And then they make do with a Kamala. I love all of this. Not as much as I love the idea of you and me smoking a cigar at the corner. It's exciting for me.
Jim, it's going to be a big night. Lives will be changed.
It matters.
And promises will be kept.
And then lives will be changed because a lot of people are about to quit the Carnegie. They'll be looking for new jobs in the morning. The Gray K-Train, look for her on the Kennedy Saves the World podcast.
Ooh.
Or perhaps at the bar at the Carnegie Club after this.
Why wouldn't we?
The show that leaves you without hope or change.
I'm telling you, man, this stuff will poison your mind.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to be talking to Shannon Bream in the next hour, but Daniel joins us to close this one. He's out in Green Bay. Yo, Daniel.
Jimmy, I love you, man.
Buddy.
I tell you, when you said you were talking yesterday about Cuba and Mark Cuban, you said, you know, you're not bashing. You just said he'd be voting for Biden if he was dying. Uh-huh. Because he's not aware. You talk a lot about self-awareness. You know, he's not aware how his people are doing because he's too separated with money.
Yep.
But Trump is.
Yep.
And Trump has that work ethic. Trump relates to the real guy. But yep. I was just going to say about the, you know, when you're saying how Democrats are just dumb, I mean, a lot of them, they, you know, it's like, you know, Mayorkas, every time he says the border's closed. Remember your grandma said, you know, when you get more trouble for lying than what for what you did? You know, so he's just lying to us saying the border's closed. It's so obvious. But I think they're just going to unfold one thing after the other. You got the separation here. You got 9 months to election, 8 months.
Yep.
And Trump hasn't done that much, you know, and it's almost a blessing that he's tied up in court because he can't put his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Daniel. The court
says Trump's going to win if he stays on point.
Keep him quiet. I agree, Daniel, 100%. That Failla guy's a genius.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. We are fired up in this hour of Fox Across America to bring you Shannon Bream, the host of Fox News Sunday, as respected of a name as there is in media. And in an effort to also, you know, boost morale amongst the listeners, the show airs on about 165 stations nationwide. We're also going to give you an additional treat and bring on Jessica Tarloff.
No, God! No, God! Please, no! No! No!
You stop it. JT will be here to give us a liberal reaction to Super Tuesday. Of course, Biden losing American Samoa last night in a primary 91 people voted in. He's going to be the nominee. Nikki Haley has dropped out. And it looks like we are 8 months from D-Day in terms of Trump versus Biden. Obviously, we'll have some plot twist along the way, because you always do anytime two guys in their late hundreds get together. But as we kick off this hour, it's not about them getting together. It's about you and me getting together. This is a good old-fashioned talk show.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. You're all welcome. 888-788-9910. The rules are always the same. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a... Boom. There it is. It's a good write-up on me in The Hill today. I don't know if you guys frequent The Hill. To be honest with you, it's written at a level of intellect that is well above mine. So I will read The Hill when I'm looking for news stories to cover from time to time, scan their headlines, see what the vibe is. But they had a good write-up today about my show being a bipartisan comedy show that pretty much anybody can laugh at. And I think they were being honest in saying so. So I wanted to thank The Hill for a fun and fair write-up. We've gotten a lot of them. The one in Forbes magazine comes to mind most recently, but any of these, we post them on the Fox Across America Facebook page and anywhere else you're consuming my content. If you get your comedy tickets, you go to foxacrossamerica.com. If you want to see videos of my TV hits, I'll be on with Laura Ingraham tonight in 7 p.m. hour. That would be foxacrossamerica.com as well. But as we get on the air here on the radio for the hour, what we're talking about now is the revelation that the Supreme Court has just announced that it will hear the arguments over Donald Trump's immunity claims on April the 25th. April the 25th. Now, this is significant because this is about whether Jack Smith can continue to prosecute Donald Trump before the election. Before the election being significant, if only because once it happens post-election, if in fact Trump were to win, he might even possess the constitutional powers to pardon himself. So for the people that want to put Trump away, they really got to step on the gas right now. Okay, and the good news is the court has agreed to hear their arguments. The bad news is the court has agreed to hear their arguments. It doesn't seem like this is a legitimate prosecution based on everything we've heard. And I don't know that Trump's going to win this immunity defense. He's essentially arguing that he had every right to tweet about the election because as the leader of this country, if his instincts told him it was not a valid election, he certainly has the rights as a leader to do that. Now, they're going to try to dissect this from other grounds, and they're certainly going to talk about classified documents and everything in between. But the more you pay attention to what's happening right now, the more you realize if the Democrats want to get Trump, they're going to have to do it at the ballot box.
He knows what he's talking about.
You can try him. You can convict him. But that's not going to stop his people from showing up and voting for him. It's just not going to. OK, people don't believe we're getting equal, you know, application of justice under the eyes of the law. OK, and a lot of people, OK, have been galvanized by the constant lawfare against Trump because it does look like the elites are just trying to nuke the guy. OK, it's a bad look. I mean, Colorado tried to take him off the ballot by saying, you know, because he participated in, you know, an insurrection against the...
You're not telling me the truth.
But he didn't. He wasn't being charged with insurrection. He's not criminally charged with insurrection. Not before January 6th, not after January 6th, not during January 6th. There are no future plans to charge him for insurrection. So the idea that he should be kept off for insurrection is like you're getting mad at somebody for something they did in your dream. If they're not accused of the crime, how can you use that crime as a justification for removing them from the ballot?
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, and the point is it's a scam, and a lot of people see through it. So what the Democrats have to do is they have to make peace with the fact that if they want to beat Trump, they're going to have to go head-to-head with him. And, you know, the more you see these desperate attempts to get the Supreme Court to step in and save their bacon, the more you realize they don't have a lot of confidence in the guy that they're running for president. Okay, they really, like, this is tough. When you're out there every day as a surrogate for this administration, and the first question is Biden nuts? Okay, that's a bad sign.
I agree with that.
Okay, because that perception isn't going to be eased by Joe Biden's appearances, because his appearances raise more questions. You know, if you saw the clip I played earlier today where Biden says he can't take the questions because he's going to get in trouble, that's not a guy who's in charge. If you're in charge, you're the leader of the free world, that means you're the leader of the whole entire world. This idea that he'll get in trouble if he takes questions means he's not in charge. He's taking orders. People are saying, no, no, you can't take questions. And why can't he take questions? Because they don't know what's going to come out of his mouth.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
It's one of those disastrous clips. Poor kids are just as talented as white kids. Meaning he's flat out telling you that all the poor kids must be minorities. Okay, that's what he's telling.
You're a loony.
Okay, poor kids exist in every race. Rich kids exist in every race. But Biden has this other worldview where he still wants black Americans to believe they're being discriminated against by voter ID laws, as if black Americans are kept from the polls because they don't have the same intellectual ability to get a voter ID that we do. He initially called it Jim Crow on steroids.
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
Jim Crow on steroids is worse than burning down people's houses, attacking them violently, because you people are too stupid to get an ID. We all know that, right? That's what he's going with. So you realize in this moment, there's so much bile aimed at the Supreme Court because the Democrats, that's a real part of their strategy. It's like they're really counting on the Supreme Court to save the day, but it really doesn't look like it's going to happen. We'll get into that with Shannon Bream. Obviously, we'll talk about all things general election with Jessica Tarlov. But right now, I go back to the phones really quick. Susan is out in Reno. Yo, Susan.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, girl.
Nice to hear from you.
You better believe it.
Hey, I just had a point about that issue where Raskin and Wasserman yep. Schultz, and I forget that other guy's name, but they want to put that proposal in the federal portion to try to change the 14th Amendment so that they can oust Trump when we elect him.
Yep.
And I think that's actually going to help the down ballots because it's something they can use to say we've got to keep the House and we need to take the Senate so that we can't have these kind of shenanigans to try to take him away again from us.
Well, you make a good point in that what it is it's you know, the Raskin thing is being done with Swalwell also.
Yeah.
And essentially they know this isn't going to get out of committee. Like, this isn't going to become a thing. They don't have the votes to get it there. But they just want it in the news because they just want January 6th hanging over Trump's head. But what they don't get is that nobody cares remotely as much about January 6th as they do about the border or the price of goods and gas and everything in between. So
True. Well, I just worry. I don't know what would happen, you know, if we were to lose the the House, if they would try at some other point. I just think they could use it, that people would understand. We don't want that kind of stuff in there. And so we need the House, and we gotta get the Senate back.
Believe me, Trump is positioned really well in this election as of right now. But that's why they're trying as many underhanded things as they can to stomp them. You know, they're in a bad spot. So buckle up, Sue, because we got a nice ride coming. It's going to be a fun 8 months.
Well, this could be the longest 8 months of our life.
Believe it. Well, I'm here when you need somebody to talk to. Be well, okay? There she goes. Jesse's in West Virginia. Jesse.
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing?
I'm good, man. First off,
I want to invite you to come to West Virginia to the Clay Center in Charleston.
Oh, I would love that. That's way up my alley.
And the reason that you ought to get your people to look at it.
Okay.
Because it's one of the best. I'm calling to tell because I'm taking umbrage of what Jen Psaki said about our state.
Yeah.
And we joke in West Virginia a lot among ourselves that we're the least protected class in America because it's okay to make fun of West Virginians because people's ignorance thinking everybody's a hillbilly.
Yeah.
And West Virginia, if I've read many times in different magazines, if West Virginia wasn't a state, it would be a national park. It's one of the most beautiful states in the country.
Uh-huh.
I remember my economics professor in college once said that West Virginia's problem is there's only 2 square miles of flat land anywhere in the state.
Wow.
It's the most mountainous state in the Union. If you pressed West Virginia's mountains down, it would be bigger than Texas.
Wow. That's great.
That's one of the reasons that, you know, it's hard to have economics around here other than natural resources due to that.
Yeah.
Because of transportation problems and everything. But West Virginia does have its problems, but so does New York City.
Oh, you better believe it.
And so does Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfair for them to make jokes about our state like that because they would not dare do that to Mississippi because it would be racist.
Yep. No, but this, you know what, it really speaks to just how stupid and out of touch they are. In the sense that the reason people prioritize the border in states that aren't Texas is because the border problems are winding up in these states, you know?
Exactly.
Can I tell you something? There's nothing dumber you can do than be a person without self-awareness. Meaning Jen Psaki, Rachel Maddow, they're the stupid people here because they don't realize, they don't have the self-awareness to ask themselves, hey, could I be wrong? Guys like you and me wonder if we're wrong all the time, you know, because we're just trying to get it right.
Let me tell you a very quick story. Mm-hmm. I used to teach school, and I taught in Northern Virginia. I taught in Fairfax County, even though I'm a native of West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And we run civics, we run economics, and we run unions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my students broke down in class, and she was in the 8th grade. And she said, my dad got fired because of a union.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? She said his construction company was unionized. And she said that they fired every single one of them because they brought in illegals to work on the construction at one of the buildings in Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah.
And there was illegal kids in my classroom, and they started laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they probably hired my dad. And they were making jokes about it.
Yeah.
About taking American jobs.
Yeah. No, which is, you know, that's who these people are. They're idiots. Okay, if you live in West Virginia, you've hit the lottery. It's a gorgeous state. You don't have to walk out the door with some pantless time traveler fondling himself on the park bench. I think you're doing good, Jerry, and I appreciate you taking the time to call in. My man. Quick break. We're back with Jessica Tarloff after this.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
The moment you've all been waiting for. I promises made, promises kept. People asked me earlier in the day, could we get Jessica Tarloff on? I said, no promises. But here I am coming through with that wish fulfilled. So you're welcome, America. Hello, JT.
Hey.
Happy. I guess you're Super Tuesday. What is today? It's like so-so Wednesday.
It's like I'm really effing tired Wednesday.
Did you stick around all night last night?
No, they did it, which I like better than usual. Like, you'll have a hit at 7, and then they're like, and we'll try to get you back on at 11.
Yeah.
But they had, like, I was on 8 to 9, or, like, mm-hmm. sitting there. Obviously, yeah. other people got to talk that yeah. I think the viewers enjoyed more than me. So I was home by 10:15.
Oh, that's a win.
It's like I had watched the end of the coverage.
Yeah. I did 3 hours of Fox Nation yeah. coverage. Just as Trump started to speak, they cut us, which is good. And the catering. I got to shout out whoever catered. Did you get into the catering last night? It was good.
The charcuterie platter.
Yes, it was really yeah. good. It was like, it was, you know, we both do a fair amount of TV here, but it very rarely am I dealt into like the elite level of broadcasting, which is obviously election night.
Where
coverage.
There's a label that says this is actually for talent and you're included.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Like, it was bizarre. I mean, I've reached for those boxes in the past and gotten tased. Like I was a card count in a casino.
I didn't do a box. I did snacking. I went out to dinner, actually, with Juan Williams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Now the crowd's really in love.
Yeah, and Donna Brazil, she FaceTimed in.
Did you by chance see Geraldo? Can you throw in?
Yeah, we found Geraldo.
So it was you, Juan, Hillary Clinton.
No, we just grabbed something. Uh-huh. Yeah. And Vince Foster made an appearance, and right. everything was great. But I eat like 50 times because when you're pregnant, yeah. you're just like standing around it all the time. And it was Lori, Martha McCallum's wonderful assistant, cum producer, who it was her birthday and she got engaged.
Wow.
So there were Chip City cookies, which are the best Stop cookies it. In the city.
Stop it.
So I did not move all night. I was like, posted up with a Diet Coke and a huge Chip City and some cured meat. And it was like...
What a winning night.
Yeah.
Now, the game is won and lost in the green room on Super Tuesday. A lot of people don't know that. Everybody's trying to be a hero on the air.
Yeah.
Just trying to muscle a guy out of the way for some fried chicken and a biscuit. I actually ate... This is going to sound fancy to my listeners, but I actually ate the Parmesan-crusted salmon.
I was going
to
say, Kellyanne Conway was like, did you have the salmon?
It was actually like next level. It's not, again, it's not the level I get fed at. So I was genuinely, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Jessica Tarloff is here, not forever, because we have a Shannon Bream is coming up as well. But the thing I wanted to say to you is tomorrow night is a State of the Union.
Yeah.
I know we go back and forth. Nobody believes on your end that Biden's coming off the ticket. But to some extent, is tomorrow some sort of an audition for anything?
I think it's the start of the campaign in okay. earnest. And it seems like both sides are doing that today, right? Nikki Haley is out. She did not endorse, but she said, like, you know, romance us,
yeah.
right? You know, tickle us, see what we'll do. And Dean Phillips, yep, obviously a I huge challenge to the president. has bowed out. It was a very, very graceful exit. If yeah. you see his post.
I read his long post.
Like about and Joe Biden and his kids and yeah, ice cream. You
it's
know,
not
nice.
His time and, you know.
Yeah.
But he also did a smart thing and shouted out Nikki Haley voters, which is also what Biden did.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. It's well, if you have Trump over the weekend saying we don't need you, we're 100% MAGA, Biden's yeah. like, well, actually, we do need you. So please come over here.
I got to tell you, if Trump can minimize the unforced errors, but it's hard for him. You know, last night was.
Are you sick of saying that? It's been 8 years of
listen.
Like, oh, if Trump could just.
I've said this from word one because I broadcast live and I'm a comic and I could say one wrong thing and end my career in a second.
Yeah.
So it bothers me that he lacks the verbal discipline that he does.
Right.
Because I can't abide it because I couldn't live that way. But it's true. Like last night with Nikki Haley was a night to be a little more conciliatory, but he annihilated her on Truth Social today. He's like, she got trounced. She's awful. But all the voters are welcome to come. It was pretty funny, but it's very yeah. Trumpian.
No, it is. And
but
people like
go.
It. But the State of the Union, though, I think it's the real kickoff. Yep. And you'll see, like, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, was on with Sandra a few minutes ago and John Roberts. He's bringing Evan Gorsuch. I'm going to mispronounce yeah. it. The Wall Street Journal reporter who's imprisoned in Russia. His parents. But he was on there to talk about the Laken Riley bill.
Yeah.
And I think, you know.
It's going to be a hot It's going to be a hot temperature tomorrow night. It's going to be a contentious state of the
union.
I'm
going to be sweaty, but that could be the hormones.
I'm not covering it, but I'm going to pretend I am so we can get the good catering.
Jessica, want that salmon.
Jessica Tarloff, we love you. Okay. Thanks. Great yep. hang. We'll always have this. Shannon Bream around the corner.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. And if the band sounds fired up, it's because they are. Joining us now on the show, the bell of the cable news ball. We are talking about the host, the anchor of Fox News Sunday, host of the Living the Bream podcast, author of the book, The Love Stories of the Bible Speak, and so much more. Shannon Bream in the house. The crowd goes nuts. Hey, girl.
Hey, you left out president of the Jimmy Failla fan club. Have I been demoted?
Well, no, this is the thing. So, Bream, we just got some mail-in votes, actually.
Oh, come on. I demand a recount.
Oh, no.
If I've been kicked out of the top slot, that's what I demand.
Yeah, you got to get that. You got to bank those early votes next time around. That's all I can tell you.
All right.
Perino had a vicious ground game. She went office to office. She canvassed.
Very organized. I mean, she's a White House professional.
The digital ads alone. The digital ads alone. I kid. Mm-hmm. Good to hear your voice, Shannon Bream. Last night, I'll tell you the one thing that was really different about Super Tuesday. The outcome was sort of the same. But, you know, some of these states were closer, including Vermont, that Nikki Haley won before she ultimately left the race. So did you feel like at least you earned your money as a broadcaster last night?
Well, you know what? I think that we all knew where we were going. Yeah. But I think that, yes, if we were there to inform the people. I thought one of the interesting storylines last night was all of these uncommitted people that keep showing up and voting for other people. I mean, thousands of people in multiple states knowing their vote is not going to count for anything or showing up to give a message to the White House that they're not happy.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's passion or boredom.
Well, if you're bored, are you going to get up and go to the voting place and potentially stand in line?
No,
I don't know. I think people are ticked.
Yeah, no, I really think they are. We're at a really interesting inflection point because with Haley dropping out of the race this morning, we're now essentially tipping off, I would assume, the longest general election of our lifetimes, right? In the sense that the out-of-power party wrapped things up as soon as Trump did.
It's going to feel like it. Whether it is or not, it's really going to feel like it. I mean, the thing is, think about some of these early states, which they've been having presidential primary caucus ads for like a year already. Mm-hmm. And now we've got 8-9 months of this left. I mean, there's a real conversation now about whether, you know, Trump has got the finances he needs to keep moving forward, spending tens of millions on his ongoing, you know, legal fights that he's got. And there's a bit of a cash crunch. So when you've got to run a general election for that long, you need money in the bank. And he's out there trying to raise some more.
Wow. Shannon Bream is on the line if you're just joining us, and I think the headline is Trump's about to start selling more gold sneakers.
Hey, listen, did you get your pair?
No, I didn't. You don't laugh.
I have a little rich for my blood.
I have enough gold shoes already that I've twice I've twice been accused in media appearances since they went on sale. Someone has asked, like, hey, are those the Trump shoes? And they were not, but just between you and I. So the Trump shoes, Shannon Bream, go for $399, but Letitia James says they're overvalued, and she's going to prosecute.
So you're only going to pay like $129.
Yeah, you get them for $129.
That's all you feel good about. But I do feel like you have a lot of blazers that would go well with gold sneakers.
Listen, about that, okay? So the good news is I do. The bad news is a phone that rings from the wardrobe department from time to time.
Oh, no. You cannot stifle the Jimmy Failla style. Like, that's just not acceptable. No. You got to let it live free.
To their credit, you know what they've actually done since my show launched, and I love them for this?
They give you more clothes?
Of course. But what they're
doing,
what I committed to, because I said I kind of have a feel for what the vibe of the show should be.
Yeah.
So they kind of keep a very healthy but supportive distance. And I'm going to invite Manny, Jenna, and Allison are going to come onto the show and give me a fashion report card at the end of the first quarter of the year. And we're gonna,
I love that.
So all of it coming on live TV. There's nothing I can do. Like the
you feel
actual.
Like you're strong enough for it because I have hurt feelings sometimes about my outfits.
You see,
I think people don't like them.
Well, this is the thing, okay? And that's on the people, by the way. You're an icon. I mean, I was going to get to this in a minute because we were talking about the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But to the point and we'll get there in 1 second. But the point of whether it bothers me. I spent a lot of time driving a cab in New York City traffic, so I'm so dead on the inside that they can't. they can't penetrate whatever this dark thing is. There's
you've created a shell,
yeah.
Sort of like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle force field around your heart that nothing can get through.
That actually makes sense because they do pay me in pizza.
Oh,
so there you go.
We had some last night because you know Super Tuesday, you're getting pizza. It's showing up in the office.
Yeah, they came through. They catered really well. But since we were on fashion right before we pivot, because we do have a White House Correspondents' Dinner coming up.
Yes.
I praised you this morning in a radio interview. I said you had the best hair because they asked what's coming up on your show today. I said Shannon Bream, who had the best hair at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, by the way. Because you wore an updo. You wore an updo.
Okay.
No, you
I went
showed
fancy.
Up. Believe me, I pay attention. I wouldn't have posed for that cool photo if everybody didn't look right. You know, I
remember
worry about my
that photo. That was my favorite photo of the night because it's like all of your posse and you right in the middle.
Yeah. And look, it was good. It was good stuff. So it was an interview. So you got some street cred, Bream. And,
Thank you. I don't want to drag down your photo.
No,
I don't want my hair to be the thing where like people, this picture of Jimmy Fallon would have been awesome, but Bream's hair
listen,
is a big disappointment.
Most people who know me 10 years ago would have assumed my photo would be taken from the front and the side. So the fact that I'm not in it alone against a brick wall, I think, is a progress.
It's a plus. It's a plus. But see, that's also why your hair has to look good from all sides, because you don't know how the night's going to end and how those pictures are in history. I mean, they're in the history books. You need to make sure it's good from all angles.
Oh, it's so good. All right, I'll give you one more adult question because I'm just dying. So the first Supreme Court ruling for Trump was good this week. Obviously, he stays on the ballot. The second one about immunity, this is what I was unsure of, and maybe you can fill us in. I know which week the arguments are going to take place, but assuming we're hearing arguments in late April, does something like this result in a relatively, you know, soon response from the court, or is that something that goes later into the summer?
I don't think this one's going to be 9-0.
Of course.
So I think where you've got splits, it gets tougher.
Yeah.
Because the opinion that we got Monday on the Colorado situation was relatively brief and to the point. I think something on the issue of presidential immunity, which has never been decided before, I think is going to take more time. I think that it is one of those things that unless something really unusual happens and the court doesn't like to be pushed by outside exigent circumstances, they had to Monday. They didn't have to, but they did, you know, in a way when it came to the voting for Super Tuesday with Colorado. But I think they're going to take their time on this thing. And so if it gets to the end of June, I'd expect that's where it's going to land. And then, of course, only then does the trial court unpause from putting everything on hold they did there, which means months of getting ready for that trial.
Because I guess what I'm hearing now, and we're talking to Shannon Bream, if you just joined us, is that it would almost be hard to get this trial heard before the election. And would they be concerned about the impact that has on the election?
It's not impossible, and it seems that Jack Smith, the special counsel, is comfortable with moving forward on a September-October start. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, we could be in presidential debates if they do them, or you can be, you know, people already early voting, and you're having a federal criminal trial of one of the leading candidates.
Yeah.
It's going to be bizarre, but nothing should surprise us anymore.
No, it does. It seems like a bit of a racket, though. I mean, it's the one thing I've been trying to tell people is the election we're analyzing today is not necessarily the election we'll be voting in, meaning this one more than ever, the GPS on this election, I think, is going to take us down some side streets. Do you not get that vibe?
I feel like MapQuest is no longer going to be helpful.
You know that moment?
We've got to go somewhere else. We need new technology for this one.
I've had some moments over the years where MapQuest like takes me to a fence.
Exactly. We used to, our very first house we ever bought back in Tampa, Florida, back when MapQuest was a thing, it would lead people to a barrier they couldn't go through to get through our neighborhood, so they could never get to our house. But, you know, that kept things quiet.
Yeah,
I didn't have
perks
to entertain as much. People couldn't find our house.
Little perks. Last and not least, I am Friday, Saturday this week. I'm performing in Fort Lauderdale Friday, Pontevedra on Saturday.
Oh.
Nice, fancy theaters. Like they put me in these venues, Shannon, that make me look far classier than I am. But that's okay. You know, I think the audience has a managed expectation at this point. But it's
I think you're
fun
up to it.
It's like a comedy prom because it's so nice.
Should I get you a corsage?
What I was going to ask you.
A boutonniere.
What I was going to ask you, since I'm going to be down in Florida, do you have a recommendation for the 72 hours I'll have on my hand? I mean, I'm only on the road. I'm only employed an hour a day. So there's 23 hours a day where I'm technically unemployed and completely untethered. So I was wondering if the Bream team, since we were talking about GPS, is there anything I should hit?
Well, I would say because you're going to be on the east coast of Florida, right? You're going to be down in Fort Lauderdale. Then you're going up to Ponte Vedra outside of Jacksonville. I'd say if you've never done it, You should actually drive to Daytona where you can drive on the beach.
What? That's a thing?
It's a fun, one of the only places you can still do that.
Wow.
And it sounds a little bit weird, but it's one of our fun Florida tacky things that we like.
No, I like that.
And there's, listen, if you want tacky, which I love, Daytona is the place.
Oh, let's go, girlfriend.
Go.
I love
you
it.
Could, I mean, listen, you could stop at Cocoa Beach on the way, take a surf lesson, get up to Daytona, drive on the beach. There's all kinds of fun stuff to do.
I love this. Just the idea that I could be driving on the beach without getting prosecuted this time.
This I time. I like that you added that quickly.
That's a big step right there. Shannon Bream, anchor, author, podcast host, now travel agent. The sun never sets on your media accolades. Thank you for a moment of your time.
Call me if you need bail money.
You're the best. Take care. There she goes, Shannon Bream. If you took the timetable out of that discussion, essentially what we were told is if, in fact, Trump is going to stand trial and this immunity argument doesn't serve his purpose, you'd be looking at a September-October trial of a major party nominee.
That's not right.
It's everyone in the world knows it's not right. What's interesting about precedent, okay, and that's a lot of what she's talking about when it comes to the Supreme Court, the way they move, the way they hear cases, how they try not to let outside factors influence their process. They had to this week because of the Colorado primaries, the Super Tuesday primaries in which Trump had been removed from the ballot. But understand, historically, when it comes to precedents, okay, the FBI, okay, law enforcement traditionally stands down in an election year because they don't want to be viewed with putting their thumb on the scale. The reason Hillary Clinton didn't actually get prosecuted is twofold in the run-up to the 2016 election. James Comey concluded that any other person might have been reasonably charged. Okay, they concluded that she knowingly destroyed evidence, you know, under subpoena, and that they did find, you know, probable cause that she was in violation of this law. However, we were in an election year, ergo, they were going to let the voters decide. Now, what we're watching, okay, is an effort to let the states decide by removing Trump from the ballot, the courts to decide by indicting him 91 different times. And now the Supreme Court is getting its second at bat, okay, in one single election, something completely unheard of, if for no other reason than the Democrats are trying to win this thing everywhere but at the ballot box.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
A show with substance and style.
This is my oldest guy in the boy band look.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
He's a good-looking Italian.
Bottom of the ninth here on Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Getting ready. I mean, man, we've got the Ingram angle tonight. And then I have just received word. Just received word from the producers. Lincoln Fela has agreed to come on Fox News Saturday night this coming Saturday.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Oh, you stop. Link Man's going to be great. He's going to be fired up. We're going to do some playground politics where we talk about the 2024 election through the lens of 10th grade kids, 9th grade kids, people he hangs out with over in Clark Ram territory. Because the one thing I will tell you about this election is it's going to be so long. You can't give me an example. I mean, off the top of my head, I really can't think of one where the party out of power, in this case, the Republicans, clinched a nomination by Super Tuesday. Okay, normally these things at least drag into, you know, early April before somebody crosses the delegate threshold or everybody else drops out of the race. The fact that we're going to go full 8 months, a full 8 months of just Trump and Biden.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I got a feeling, because Biden's trailing as much as he is in the polls, I've got a feeling everything we've been talking about in terms of lawfare, in terms of ballot efforts, ways to stop people from voting for Trump. I got a feeling we're about to do 8 months of that. You know, essentially Biden's outreach, I covered it early in the story today, is so laughable. He said his message for the black community is democracy's on the ballot. Because these white people want you to show voter ID, so vote for me.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
I mean, imagine going into a community and saying, hey, I know inflation's at a 40-year high. Crime is through the roof. Okay? these are all caused by my policies. The border has overrun your school system and the infrastructure in your town. And I know you're going through all those hardships. But you should vote for me because I believe you're not capable of getting an ID. That's what Biden is going with.
Get out of here and take your mother with you.
Think about that. That's the pitch here. Well, you know, for the black community especially, they need to know democracy's on the ballot. These people want you to show a voter ID. Do you realize how insulting and infantilizing that is to the black community? To say, we all know you're not capable of getting voter ID. And they know that. That's why they're asking you for voter ID, is they know you're not actually capable. I mean, yo, Joe Biden.
What an idiot.
Really. But if that's where we're starting, that's the old adage in comedy. You don't open with your closer. That's what they say. You don't open with your closer. Don't go on stage and say the most profound, provocative thought you have in your arsenal because you really can't follow it if that's the peak, if that's the peak of laughter or the peak of an hour or whatever the heck it is. Big theatrical bit. So you understand, okay, if Biden is already telling black people Trump is sending them back, okay, for all intents and purposes, to their pre-representation era in this country, okay, that's his opener. Now, you got to close with something bigger than that. So where do we go from here? Okay, the truth is I don't know, but I have a good feeling the Democrats are going to find a direction to take us in because they can't let this play out. As it stands, we head into the State of the Union tomorrow night. You've got the least popular incumbent president in our lifetimes running for re-election, and people like to draw the comparison to somebody like Obama because they go, well, Obama was underwater at this point in his presidency.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
But the point is, Obama, underwater as he was, had the ability to go out there and campaign. Whether you like him or not, guy was a phenomenal campaigner. He's a really good public speaker. Okay? I think he was full of S half the time.
Don't be thick, all right?
But the truth is, he was out there and he made the effort. He could go do 100 media appearances. He could go do 100 rallies. Biden is in a position where the guy has the public appearance schedule of a groundhog.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
And you might think he'd get hope from the media, but the media really can't help him. Okay, we opened the show on the Rachel Maddow clip where they mocked Virginia voters for being concerned about the border. And listen, it's the reason Trump won in 2016, the reason he's probably going to win again. He's focusing on issues people care about. OK, when you hear the media saying, oh, Virginia, OK, isn't it funny that their number one issue was the border?
That was embarrassing.
It really was. Why? Because what's happening at the border has wound up in every state in this country. If you're talking about the fentanyl that's poisoning people or the violent migrants. OK, Virginia, sadly, had a 14-year-old girl sexually assaulted by a violent migrant who was apprehended at the border in Texas and then set free by Joe Biden.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
None at all. So when you realize we are 8 months from Election Day and the media prioritizes everything but what voters care about, you understand they're about to bust out some big Hollywood productions in an effort to get Donald Trump off of that ballot.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
The world is on fire. Let's roast some marshmallows again tomorrow. Get some comedy tickets at foxacrossamerica.com, and we'll see you tonight on the Ingram Angle, girlfriend.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.